Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Duluth Rundown, a podcast focused on the local Twin Ports running scene. My name is Tony Stensland with Tony Stensland Coaching.
And I am Mike Ward with Duluth Timing and Events.
All right. Welcome, everyone, to the Duluth Rundown podcast, episode number 14 this week. And we're recording here in my living room or in my kitchen kind of area.
And in the new year.
Again, and in the new year, for
2020.
Sure. First podcast of 2020. Mike, what's new? How was your Christmas? How was your holidays?
Yeah, good.
Yeah?
Good. I've really been into winter, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm kind of obsessed with the winter lifestyle. We've had a pretty awesome winter, I think, so far.
It's been nice to have some early snow this year and really good snow base. The trails are good. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's been nice to have good early kind of winter situations. The skiers have been, I think, probably pretty happy. And I think the cyclists was a little rough at first. It was almost too warm with all the snow.
Yeah.
I think the cycling was not so great early with the snow, but now I think it's probably pretty good because there's been such a base laid down. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be pretty good. In fact, I think it's going to be good the rest of the winter. I think now that all those trails are packed in. Anyway, we'll talk more about that later.
Yeah.
The big thing on this episode that's coming up is we're going to talk a lot about the Arrowhead 135 that's coming up in about 3 weeks. We'll have some guests on that have some good experience with that race. So stay tuned for that.
And you and I have been talking, you know, a while about kind of doing this round table discussion format. So I think this is going to be a really fun episode to kind of, you know, hear just a wide array of chitter chatter, you know, and more of a conversational. I mean, I guess all our interviews are pretty conversational anyways, but
yeah,
pretty cool.
Yeah, little different, slightly different format, which we've been wanting to do now for a little while, just because the racing season as a whole, guys, there's just far fewer races to talk about. So we'll try to dedicate a podcast more to one specific thing, I guess, and this is the first one of that.
Right, so, yeah. Right. Well, should we hop right into results here?
Yeah, let's do that.
All right, let's talk about the Tuscobia run races. We'll just maybe focus on the run results just because there's a lot of different categories, you know, 160-mile and an 80-mile distance, ski, bike, and run. So, we've reported on Gretchen Metza before because she's won some pretty high-profile races, and she did it again at the Tuscobia 80-mile run with a time of 17 hours, 50 minutes for a pretty massive course record. I guess I don't exactly know what the course record previously was offhand, but she had a big course record day, and that's just pretty awesome to see. Gretchen's a beast.
Yeah, I think from what if I remember right, she almost set the overall course record, not only just the women's course record, but the overall.
And that's why I think she did set the overall.
Was it? She did record. Set it.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Anyway, it's impressive. It was a cool deal.
So won by Gretchen Metza in the 80-mile run division. Faye Norby wins the 160-mile run division on the ladies' side with a 58 hours, 17 minutes. And if I'm not mistaken, I think Faye has done the double Arrowhead, if I'm right.
Not that I know of.
I might need to fact check myself on that. But
but it's possible. I know of four people that have done it, but if she's done it, she would be the fifth one that and I didn't know about it. Yeah.
All right. I'm going to check on fastest known time in the meantime, because I think that's on there. Let's see. For the men's division, I'm just scrolling through the results here. The 80-mile was won by Joseph Altendahl out of St. Paul with a time of 20 hours and 4 minutes. And then the 160-mile division was won by Brian Korgard with a 44-hour, 50-minute run. And so definitely some familiar names on the ultramarathon circuit, and kind of heard, you know, on social media and stuff, the conditions I think were pretty rough, especially for those 80 milers who I believe start later, and for the second half of the 160 where it was raining, if I'm not mistaken. So
yeah.
You know, that makes it tough, you know. And we talk about this in the round table about just conditions are everything when it comes to the winter ultras and winter racing in general.
Yeah, I think for the most part in those kinds of deals, the colder the better, actually. You know, it gets a little too warm thing. That's just, it gets that much more difficult because the snow gets soft.
Yeah, yeah. I apologize. It was Carrie Gibbons and Kate Coward who did the double arrowhead.
Yep.
And then Fado. Yeah. Recognize the name.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But. Yep.
The other race results that we have, not a lot of races over the holiday season, really. So, Tuscobia, I didn't even write down the date when that was, but that was in 2019. The other race that we're reporting on was the North Woods, marathon and half marathon championship. So we had four different divisions for that: half marathon snowshoe, the full marathon, and the full marathon snowshoe. And so just quickly to run down the winners of each race, each division, the half marathon run for the men's side, Benjamin Welch out of Duluth wins it in a 1:36.19. On the ladies' side, Lauren Mitchell out of Woodbury with a 1:57.08. The half snowshoe was won by Dave Hypanen with a 1:40.17. Great time for snowshoes. And that gets Dave his qualifier for nationals, which I know he's going for nationals to represent Duluth in Leadville, Colorado. And then the female division won by Sarah Conrad in the half marathon snowshoe with a 2:06.39. In the full marathon, regular shoes, non-snowshoe, I should say, regular shoes. the men's division, Mike Ward, me. Kind of weird reporting on my own self, but 3:46.46.
It's not the first time you've had to announce yourself as the winner of a race, by the way.
Female, Leslie Semler, 4:28.18. Great run from Leslie, sixth overall. And the full snowshoe was won by Scott Hoberg with a 4:39.34. And I probably shouldn't even say this, just Scott wins, but he was the only participant in the full snowshoe.
That's a long way to snowshoe to do two loops of that course, and that's a really solid time, too, by Scott. So yeah. Nice job. I know he's training for Arrowhead. I was talking to him beforehand.
Okay.
Yeah, he's using this as a training run, so yeah.
That's a good training run, I would say.
Yeah, that was sweet.
Bash your legs up. And just to comment on the conditions, you know, and Tony, you did the half marathon snowshoe.
Yep.
I mean, I think the conditions were pretty much as good as it gets when it comes to, you know, winter trail running, and just a beautiful day in kind of the mid to maybe upper 20s. Snowpack was pretty good, you know, maybe kind of some granulated sugar phenomenon out there. But overall, especially compared to the 2019 edition,
right.
Wow.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Overall, I've been training on the course a lot in the last, you know, I don't know, 4 or 5 weeks. And honestly, yesterday, we're recording this on Sunday, the day after the race. Yesterday was probably the best that I'd seen it. Like Mike said, there was some sugar snow out there. And then the Hawks Ridge Trail sometimes gets a little soft because it gets so much sun exposure. And yesterday was a sunny day. So that was a little bit soft compared to the rest of the course. But really, overall, it was, you couldn't ask for too much better for winter trail running.
Seriously, and just the day, you know, you can get warm day, 35 degrees, just as easy as a negative 20 day, and to just have like those mid 20s, oh man, that's perfect.
It was warmer than I thought it was going to be, though. I thought it was supposed to be like 16, 17, 18 degrees, something like that, and it was, what, 23, 25, something like that. It was a touch warmer than I thought. I actually probably overdressed a little bit.
Yeah, I was nervous because I just wore like a quarter zip long sleeve and like a jersey over it, and I ended up taking my gloves off and tucking them in my pants and rolling up my sleeves, and I took my headband off. I mean, I was getting warm.
Yeah,
it's sweaty actually.
So. Yeah, I was doing the same thing. My hat and my gloves would come off for a little while, and then I'd get a little bit chilly and I'd put them back on, especially in the shade, like Amity Creek Trail, which, you know, is all shade.
Yeah.
And I'd get a little chilly, I'd put the hat back on, but I was doing that a couple, three times throughout the course.
And just chit-chatting with people too, it sounded like that was kind of an issue of getting sweaty, and then you get cold.
Yes.
You know, you get cold real quick, you know, especially if you stop or slow down or in the shade or something. So, overall, wonderful, though. So,
yeah, it was a great day. It was a really fun race.
Moving on to upcoming races, we have a couple. You know, not a ton, obviously. It's kind of the off season, but some running races coming up in the region on January 11th. is the St. Croix 40-mile winter ultra, which is kind of a unique event and very cool. And very cool if you are looking to kind of dip your toes in the water to some of the long distance, you know, winter ultras. So the format is, you know, a 40-mile run or ski or bike. But you have checkpoints, and so you have to melt snow. You have to set up your bivy tent rig and pack it back down, and that's all while the clock is running.
Yep.
And so, you know, obviously at something like Arrowhead or Tuscobia, you don't have to even pull out your sleeping bag, tent, stove, any of that, but you have it. So this kind of makes you prove that you can actually use the equipment that you're bringing, which, you know,
ultimately is more important, especially when you're doing something like Arrowhead or Tuscobia, when the distances are so far greater and you're going to be out there that much longer.
I mean, they don't give you that guarantee or that required gear list because just to make the race harder.
Right.
Right. Do it so you don't.
It's a safety factor.
It's a safety factor.
Yeah. So if you don't know how to use it, then there's no safety involved in it. So.
And then it's just dead weight.
Yeah.
So that's coming up January 11th. The following weekend, we got a couple races here locally with the ongoing Duluth Winter Trail Running Series at Spirit Mountain is the Wild Winter Wipeout 5K, which is kind of up and down the Spirit Mountain groomed ski slopes. Butt sliding is encouraged, I believe. Yep. And also the same day in International Falls is a annual classic going on, geez, 40 plus years, I think, for sure. The Freezer Gizzard Blizzard Run, which is a 5K and a 10K event. It's set up so you can actually do the 5K and then the 10K. Super fun event, too. You know, kind of a, you know, iconic event because of the weather conditions being cold a lot of the times. And you know, I follows the chamber puts up a pretty fun event up there. So
yeah, they do a nice job.
Yeah. And then finally, within this, you know, our podcast cycle, the last one is, of course the Arrowhead Winter Ultra, which we talk about in great length, later on this, episode. And that starts on Monday, January 27th. And, you know, I think the cutoff is 2 days after that on Wednesday. And so, yeah, again, if you're racing, good luck. If you're not racing, the tracking opportunities are ample throughout those, you know, 48 hours or so or 60 hours. So, yeah, Monday, 1:27 when that starts. So,
yep.
Moving on, trails report. I think the trails, like we mentioned, are in just great shape.
Yeah.
Yeah, nothing really to complain about. I think if you're running just with regular shoes, especially like in Hartley, I've heard is especially impeccable right now.
Yep.
Solid, firm, beautiful. You know, for fat biking, anything that you're out doing skiing, I've heard is very fast. So just great, great time, great opportunity to get outside, get on the trails, you know, and I think this is where we have to take advantage of that because, you know, we could hit a month or two where it's roads, lake walk only.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. We might get a little January thaw, soften things up for a little while, then they can, you know, at worst get a little post-holy, you know, that's the last thing you really want to be doing is kind of sinking down in too far, and then that kind of wrecks the trail again for a little while until another snowstorm comes. But right now, I think most all trails in Duluth are just pristine.
Get out there. Get out there, people. I guess we're kind of going to skip over Corch's Corner Gear Review. Do you have anything to mention on that there, Tony?
Yeah, or? I don't think so. Huh?
Yeah. I want to mention the What I'm Into portion, and this kind of ties into the trails report as well, is this newly formed Facebook page called the Duluth Trail Conditions. And so this is a super unique concept, I think, where it's just kind of a real-time posting the mechanism for people to report, hey, where have I been? What are the conditions? Should you go? Should you not? And I will say my own like Facebook page has been inundated with these with these kind of reports, which for better or worse, you know, but it's almost every single discipline, whether it be for fat biking, for skiing, for running, snowshoeing, hiking, on almost every single trail or you know, recreation area within the city.
And outside the city, people outside are talking, you know, Corky Nordic and Boulder Boulder Ridge and just other places I'd never even heard of. You know, mm-hmm. there's a couple of them people have mentioned. I'm like, I never heard of that trail system before. I have no idea where that's at. So it's really cool. And it is so, you know, because it's starting to get so many people on that page that if you want to know what Lester is like, you're going to find out that day,
right.
You know, what Lester is like, unless you're out at maybe 6 a.m., maybe it'll be the first one then. But, mm-hmm. But yeah, it's so real time and so quick and everything's there. It's really nice. A really good idea. Whoever started that Facebook page to do that.
Yeah. I mean, it's free. So like anyone listening, if you haven't heard of it, if you're on Facebook, obviously you have to be on Facebook to use it. But
yeah,
Duluth Trail Conditions, you know, you can search that and find it. And really cool. A lot of people posting. And obviously, you know, if you're out there and you have something to report, whether it's like trail conditions are good, bad, anything, you know, that's how the whole page operates. So, you know, pitch in, add your 2 cents and, just pretty neat. And, you know, over the months and years, you know, we've talked about the COGS website and the Superior Hiking Trail, you know, conditions page, the city of Duluth. I mean, there's a lot of resources out there to kind of check on trail conditions, but to hear from kind of, you know, quote unquote, real people via Facebook.
Yeah.
You know, I guess.
and just faster, you know,
faster, real time.
People can literally just post it right there on their phone while that out there on the trail right then and there. So, I mean, it is exactly real time. It's really nice.
Yeah. Pretty cool. So check that out. And that's, I guess, pretty much it. Unless you have a shout out. I got one shout out.
Go for it.
My shout out is to you, Tony, for spending the time to do some trail maintenance before the Northwoods race, which I think was pretty crucial. You know, I personally didn't see the trails beforehand, but, you know, I think that's just such a cool part of the community here in Duluth is that, you know, people like you are willing to go out and spend time 5 hours.
Yeah, it didn't. I didn't think it was going to be that long. I honestly thought I'd do the entire 13-mile course in like 3 or 4, and I did like 4.5 miles in 5. That's how much. And part of the reason there was 2 reasons why it took me so long. One is there was a lot more post holes than I had noticed. Just going out there by yourself running, you don't notice them as much. But when you're out there focusing on them, then you start to really see them. So there was far more than I had anticipated. And 2, I forgot to bring my little garden hoe thing to kind of pull snow into the fill in the pothole. So I was using my snowshoes to scrape with my feet, and that just took forever.
Yeah.
So those 2 aspects is why it took so long. But I think it probably helped a little bit because there were, especially the DT, I pretty much just did the Duluth Traverse. Mm-hmm. And that was really rutted up pretty good.
Yeah. So, yeah. Well, it's kind of a thankless job unless you get shout outs. So here's a shout out. To say thank you.
Yeah, no, it was my pleasure. It was fun to be out there, actually.
So, yeah. Well, I guess without any further ado, let's get to this roundtable discussion about the Arrowhead Winter Ultra.
Yeah, it'd be fun to talk to these guys.
Unless, did you have a shout-out at all? Or?
No, but I have a real... I actually do have a... This isn't even Duluth-related, necessarily, but what I'm into is just a running-related thing, that a story that I saw pop up, and this gentleman's not from Duluth, but there's a runner named Steve Spence who had a 43-year streak, I believe, of running a sub-5-minute mile every year for 43 street years.
What?
And it just snapped. He didn't get it in 2019. And anyway, that was pretty awesome to have that kind of a streak. And he tried. Didn't happen. But he's like, I'll just try it again next year and start a new streak. You know?
Oh, man. Well, he's probably not going to get 43 more, huh?
No, he probably won't get 43 more, but... That was pretty awesome.
Are you a streak person? Do you think they're cool, worthwhile doing, you know?
I guess that if you talk about just like run streaks and how many days in a row can you run, I think that's pretty cool. It's nothing that I've personally have gotten into, but I think it's pretty cool that people do it. A streak like that, where I think that's really cool, actually, to kind of...
Unique, for sure. You
very
don't hear
unique
about that.
And like just such big effort based of like... a performance kind of,
right.
A performance streak. You can think of it that way, as opposed to like an experience streak. And there's something kind of really cool about that performance, setting a time goal and hitting that time for 43 straight years. I mean, the guy's a former Olympian, so running sub-5 for a long time was no big deal for him.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow.
I think 1976, it said he was like 14 years old or something like that when he first ran a sub-5, and then he did it every year for the next 43 straight years.
You hear about, you know, the running streaks, like you run every day. I mean, Kyle Sather has a really long, long-standing one right now, I think going on 1,200 days, yep. 3-4 years, right?
Yeah.
You hear of like the doing an event, like I've done Grandma's Marathon X amount of years in a row, right. type thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, the performance is interesting. My streak, I'm on a streak now.
Yeah.
Know? It's camping. Uh-huh. My streak goal is to camp once per month.
Okay.
For as long as I can.
For 2020 or just as long as I can. You've kind of got it going already now.
I gotta get my January camping trip, okay. But I'm at 2 right now.
Okay, so. November, December of 2019. December. Nice.
Yeah.
Cool. That's a good streak. That's a good streak.
That's my good streak.
I mean, if you can get through, you're starting in the winter.
Yeah.
So right. You roll through the quote unquote tougher part.
Yeah.
And then you get,
theory gets easier.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I mean, you still gotta find time. You know? I think camping's kind of like fishing. Like, it's fun, but it's like a tremendous waste of time. You can't do anything else except,
yeah,
you know, you can't be productive in any sense. You're right. Just out there.
You're just
but
out there.
Yeah. That's the beauty of
that's,
it. Too,
that's so. The, almost the point, I guess. Cool.
Well, I guess without further ado, now
yeah.
let's get to
let's
our
talk Arrowhead
interview.